But nobody wants to apply the Word of God into their lives. You know, the Word of God is so powerful. It's there to change you. The Word of God, the Bible says that it has been sent forth to accomplish everything that it was purposed to do. And the Bible says it won't come back to God void. He said that himself. When my word goes out, it's not going to come back to me void. It's going to accomplish everything. It's going to achieve what I've sent it to do. And for us to receive that change, we must place ourselves in the place where the Word of God is, reading the Bible and studying the Word of God, and then doing it. Hallelujah. That's the difference. And then it says, and let Christ shine upon you. Christ means the anointed king. Shine means exposure. When you wake up and you arise, God will show you everything that you've been doing wrong. When you awake and arise, God will shine onto your life what you've been doing wrong. He will expose all your bad habits, all your bad decisions, your irresponsible behaviors. He will show you where you have been lazy. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. With certain areas of your life, he will expose all the wrong company you've been keeping. High five somebody. Hey man, that's true, Pastor. Hallelujah. I've been keeping wrong companies all this time. Just because you are with some friends doesn't mean it's a good thing. Or doesn't mean it's a right thing. Some of your friends you need to get rid of, including your family. Somebody say amen to that, Pastor. Hallelujah. Families are the most dangerous opposition to your purpose in God. Every time God wants you to go somewhere, your family steps in. Your family hinders you a lot. You know what? I'm talking to people all the time, and it's always family. It's always family that's hindering their walk. And I said, listen, get away from your family. Not because you hate them, because they're just hindrance to your purpose in God. How can you grow and achieve everything in God when you keep going back to your family and they keep dragging you down with them? Hallelujah. Oh, he's holy now. Of course I'm holy now. He's righteous. I'm righteous. I've just placed myself in the right place with God. Hallelujah. Of course I am. What are you going to do about that? It's not because you're proud. Get angry in the spirit about these things and discipline yourself to say no. Some of your friends need to go. Find new friends. Jesus found 12. He left his family and said, 12 guys, my goodness, my friends, hallelujah. Now I can live my life and achieve my purpose, what I came to do on this earth. Just 12 people. I said to my team, you don't need the whole church to say change somebody. You need disciplined, valuable people. Those 12, there's a spirit of the 12 in every one of you sitting in this room today. And Julie mentioned that today. There's a gift that is in the 12 apostles that is in each and every one of you today. What is that gift? The only time when you will realize that you will discover that gift of the 12, that anointing that Jesus had upon his 12, it's in you, all of you. And he did it only 12 people to change the world. He didn't need a whole church. Everybody came and said, your teaching's really too hard and we're just going to leave. And he turns around and goes, and are you leaving too? They said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Hallelujah. That's the kind of attitude that we must have all the time. God, you have the words of life. Where am I going to go? I'm not going to follow all these other people that want their ears to be tickled and, preaching some really nice sermons. No. Preach some messages of God that comes out of the Word that will cut through the bones and the marrows and divide it and transform people from the inside. Amen. People need to start saying, that's me. That's me. Pastor, you just spoke to me. You just spoke to my heart. This morning, I got an amazing praise report from one of the brothers. He came up and says, Pastor, there was a lady that was so down. But as soon as you preached that message, the Spirit just boom. And she said that was the best thing that happened to her in church when she walked in today. This is it. If 10 people don't, one person out of 20 got transformed and changed by God through one word, praise the Lord. Amen. A sermon doesn't change you, but a word from the sermon will change you. I didn't get saved because I listened to a full sermon. I got changed from one word. The pastor looked around and says, the Noah's Ark. Anybody prepared your ark today? Because if you don't, there's a flood coming. I'm looking around going, I don't even have a log to float on. If the flood comes, I'm dead. I have no place to go. I need to go and find my ark. And my ark was Jesus. And I found my ark. It was Jesus Christ. Gave my heart to Jesus from that one word. Because I used to listen to the sermon and the good stories, the Bible stories of Noah's ark. And oh, that's a nice story. It's not nice. It came with such power. Boom. And one word transformed me. You don't get changed from a sermon. You get changed from one word from God. Hallelujah. Amen. It will expose all the wrong companies you keep. It shines on it. It shines in your life that you started to go, I'm with the wrong crowd. I need to make a move. I need to shift myself out of that place, place myself in the path where I can reach out to God. Hallelujah. Wake up. Good. Get up. Fine. And here's what's wrong. He says, once you wake up and you arise, it shows you what's been lacking in your life. The good news is this. The Bible says, be careful how you walk away from your bed. You wake up, but you walk away into another place that you're not supposed to walk into. Very important for us to understand and remember that there is a spirit called the Holy Spirit. It's not just some hairy, fluffy stuff floating around. It's a person. The Bible calls it the person of the Holy Spirit. The third person in the Trinity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This year, or this age that we're living in, it's the age of the Holy Spirit. He's the counselor. He's the teacher. He's everything to us. He operates. He's the ambassador of heaven. Hallelujah. That is sent here to look after us, to guide us, to correct us, to make sure that we're on the wrong path. There's so many sermons being preached and so many doctrines happening around the world. Which one are you listening to? Hallelujah. The bed is where you've been sleeping all this time. Your lifestyle is your bed. That's your lifestyle. Wake up. Walk away from that lifestyle. Do it now. Don't wait till you do this and do that and then you'll do that. First thing you need to do is correct yourself in life. If you want to achieve something over there and there's something blocking you, then get rid of that. Get it out of the way and then you can reach your purpose in life. Some people want to drag that stuff and trying to reach the purpose in life. And they struggle. Flesh. But when you get into the place of discipline, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit says, good, now I can work. That's a place where I need to work. It says in verse 5, be careful then how you live as not unwise, but as wise. Hallelujah. Everybody say wisdom. Say it loud, wisdom. Say it into your spirit, wisdom. Tell your neighbor, say wisdom. Hallelujah. Very important, wisdom. The word wisdom means what? Applied knowledge. That's it. We like to have knowledge. We like to have understanding. We like to hear the word. Oh, we understand that. Oh, we know that. But when it comes to wisdom, which is what? Applied knowledge into our lives, nobody wants to do it. It's too hard. We just like listening and look really righteous and holy. And ingrained sin is killing ourselves morally inside. I can do all things in Christ, dying morally inside. Whatever it is, I don't know. Whatever sin that is. Lust, pornography, addiction, substance abuse. These are things that are killing you inside. And you can try and achieve things in God, but God says, hang on a minute, let's deal with that thing first. You know, and I said this morning, I was really, really blessed. I remember when I preached on righteousness, the first thing God imparted in my heart was clean up the church, correct the church, preach the word of God. Grace is wonderful, but people are using grace to sin. So preach righteousness. Bring my righteousness back into church. Speak the gospel of Christ straight. Hallelujah. And I spoke on righteousness. And people came to me. These are couples that are living in de facto relationships. Walked up here for prayer and said, Pastor, we've been living in sin. We want to get married properly in church. I said, thank you, God. Thank you. It's happening. It's happening. When people come up and acknowledge that they're living in sin, you know. Because those kind of things, I don't like sitting down and counseling and talking to people because they think that I'm trying to use my own knowledge to counsel them. I like to release the word of God on the pulpit because it comes with such power that it's, whoa, we got to do something about this. Amen. Not because I'm some kind of a superman, because there's a place when you speak with the anointing and the presence of God and the power of God, it changes the lives of people. And so people come up to me and they say, we want to do this. And I said, you know what? I need to first do something. I need to go and get my celebrant license. So when I preach messages like this and people go, I want to get married. Okay, we can do it now, right now. We can get married off and do it the right way. Hallelujah. People come, get saved, transformed. They say, we want to get baptized. All right, let's baptize them. Baptize them in the Holy Ghost. And, oh, we want to get married. Oh, I don't have a license. But now, praise God, if you ever think of marriage, call me. Because, and it's, you know, that's a discipline. That's getting yourself in a place where God can start to bless you. People say, oh, you know, we still get blessed. Yeah, but the Word of God says we need to do it properly. Hallelujah. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Wisdom. Wisdom means applied knowledge. Wisdom is different from knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is what? Information. You receive and you receive and you receive and you receive. Understanding is comprehension. Oh, yes, I understand now. But applied knowledge is the problem. That's a discipline, my friends. That's applying everything that you've heard, that you've received, that you've understand, and now go and apply it. That's why Jesus said, go and sin no more. Just like that. I forgive you too. Now go and sin no more. Be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. We go, how can you do that? Be holy. There's a way you can do it. Get yourself into that place of discipline. Hallelujah. I was really blessed this morning because a lot of people came, a few people came up and said, Pastor, I'm living in that place. Good. That's the Word of God speaking to you now. Now get yourself into that place where He can start to transform you. Hallelujah. It's a great discipline. God didn't say arise and walk in ignorance. He says walk in wisdom. See, many Christians walk around with knowledge and understanding, but no wisdom. The church is lacking wisdom, my friends. That's why Christians are still falling down and sinning and carrying on with all these ingrained habits. Oh, grace will protect me. I talked about the three parts that we are in, that the majority of Christians are in. There's a pathway, and on the side, there's a chasm or a drop or a cliff. On the right side, there is the people that says, oh, grace is taking care of everything, so I can just do whatever I want to do because grace covers the multitude of sin or love or all that stuff. You know, grace is grace, 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 grace. And then on the other side is the guys who are actually trying to fight this physically. Ingrained sin and habits in their life. And God says, and like Mama Julie said, you don't change nobody. Just place yourself in a place, obey God's word, and He does the changing. We need to walk in obedience, my friends. It's so simple. Life is simple. Obedience is hard. But when you start getting into the discipline, you become so disciplined in your life that it's so easy for you to walk into that place. Prayer, yes, let's pray. Meditation, yes, God, I'm listening. Study the Word of God. Turn off the television. Turn off everything. WhatsApp, Facebook. Turn it off. Spend an hour. Spend 2 hours. Hallelujah. Those are disciplines. And you don't realize that when you start getting yourself into those disciplines, things start to happen in your life. It's so simple. Yet we make it hard for ourselves because the world is throwing everything at you. The devil is throwing everything at you. Your most important thing is your time, and I'm going to speak about that. God didn't say arise and walk in ignorance. And you know what? He's not talking about people who don't know Christ that are walking in ignorance. These guys are okay. He's talking about us that claim to represent God, that claim to have Christ in our lives, that claim to be Christians, yet we walk in ignorance. He's talking about that. He says, stop walking in ignorance and get yourself into a place where God can change you. Walk in wisdom. Apply those knowledge and the understanding that you know, that you found out about the Word of God, then apply it. Get it done. Hallelujah. One of the disciplines that I wanted to talk about is this application, applying this into your life. Can I suggest that we in this church start to walk in wisdom? I don't care what other churches are doing and other people are doing. I want us to walk in wisdom in this church. I want the spirit of the 12 the anointing that is upon the 12 to be in us, to be upon us. Each and every person sitting here carries that anointing. God has already given to you. It's there. You just need to find it. That's your purpose. When you find it, you find your purpose in God, boom, your life will become really easy. Oh, I know my purpose now. I know what I'm called to do. I'm called to do this. I'm called to be part of something bigger than myself, which is the church that's moving on for God. Hallelujah. The principles of God's word begins to do its work in your life. Then it begins to walk away from the bed we have been lying in and start to apply knowledge that is obedience, friends. Obedience is the key to everything. It does not just happen. Not only by faith. A lot of us say, oh, faith. We live by faith, yeah? Where's the action that goes with it? Bible says faith without action is what? Dead. That's what God says. You have faith? Show me the action. Faith doesn't just change you. Action changes you. Getting yourself moving, hallelujah, changes you. Everything that we've heard from this pulpit, every revelation, every theory and principles of the Word of God that we have learned about His kingdom, let us all apply them this year, church. Apply them into your lives, your own personal relationship with God, your personal relationship with your family and your friends. Apply that. Get that going in your life and start to see changes happening. I want this church to be an on-fire church for God, not because we're some kind of righteous people, because we understand principle. We understand that the Word of God is the one that changes people, not us. I'm hearing stuff from parents that have gone to Youth Alive concert coming in disappointed because they're playing games with the lives and souls of these young people. I said, get me to that Youth Alive and I'll preach there one time. Hallelujah. Preaching watered down messages that are killing our young people. I was talking to a family in Atherton after the wedding, and they're so concerned about the teenage kids. They're saying, Pastor Ben, are you guys running something down at the church? I said, bring them to my youth. Because in my youth, I hate all this hairy, flurry, fluffy stuff. I want the Word of God to be taught to my kids. And I said to Pastor Jason, get the word that is preached on Sunday, dissect it, cut it up, separate it, and teach it to the children. Build our children up. I said, don't worry about building a big youth group. Build 12. Get 12 people into the youth. That's your leaders. These are the guys that will change and transform the world. These are the guys that will go and transform others. I don't care about a big youth group. I don't care about a big church. I want valuable people. People with value, walking in integrity and principle, hallelujah. Standing on the Word of God, applying discipline in their life. That's what changes the world. Not, oh, I better stop here. There's another message. Oh, hallelujah. I'm tired of church playing politics and playing games with the Word of God. They're killing our children. I said, next time you guys write a letter to this Youth Alive and I'll go and preach there. And we'll see what's going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm going to, no, better not say anything anymore. Hallelujah. It says in verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Some of you sitting in this room today have great plans and great dreams, but you're saying that I need money. To start, listen, God never starts anything with money. Believe me. He showed me something. I've learned a lot from this. God does not start anything with money. He starts everything with your passion and your desire and the vision. When you have that, God says, good. Now I can bring in the money. Money should be running after you, following after you. Oh, there's Ben. Follow him. Hallelujah. Oh, there's Alan. Man, I haven't seen him for a while. Come on, guys, let's go. Money should be following you around. But your vision and your dreams is key, because when you find that, you find purpose in God. You are not born to just be a pure woman and just born and die. A lot of people were born but never arrived. We never know that. You go to the cemetery, it's a rich place. People with so much gift buried in those places. Some of them arrived, some of them didn't. Some of them awake. Some of them didn't arise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be a person that when you were born, you arrived. People say, that's me. I found my purpose. Hallelujah. Now let's go. You get delivered from people. Cut yourself off from people. Change your friends tonight. Change your friends. Hallelujah. And speak to people that will speak into your life and encourage you for whatever purpose and dreams that God has ever given you. God doesn't work with money. God works with decisions and desires. God doesn't provide money first. He works with desires and decisions. God never says, I will give you what you got money to pay for. Does he? No. He says, acknowledge me, hallelujah, and I will give you the desires in your mind. That seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that shall be added unto you. That's key. When I preached that message on the first time I took the church, I said, this is our priority right now, church, is that we stand on that word of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything that your heart's desire will come flowing in. Why? Because you've placed yourself in a place where he can reach you. That's the place. The kingdom of God and the righteousness. Hallelujah. He says, acknowledge me, and I will give you the desires that are in your mind and in your heart. So when you want to do something in life, first you got to desire it. Deep inside desire. You're passionate, committed, dedicated, and don't quit. We've got so many great starters and professional quitters in the church. I'm serious. Oh, pastor, I've got a vision, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And then it's all flowing well, and then they just drop it and walk away. And then it just ends up in my hands again, and I'm playing multitasking in the church. I hate multitasking, church, because I'm not gifted to do other things that people are supposed to do. I've got a gift that and a purpose for myself. And you bring your gifts together with us, and we work together, just like what Mama Julie said. It's a body of Christ. Desire means you are willing to pay the price. Then God will provide the price. God doesn't give you what you're interested in. He gives you what you're passionate for. Casual faith does not attract God's attention, my friends. Casual Christian walk doesn't affect God, doesn't shake God. Passionate faith attracts God's attention. Faith with action, application of the wisdom that you and I have heard. Discipline. God says, redeem your time that have been wasted. Get back everything that you have lost with the bad use of time. As Julie said this evening, very true. Most of us have to redeem our time and spend it in the place of discipline. Verse 17. Therefore, he says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's saying. Understand my will, and then you will find your purpose. If wise means to get knowledge and apply it, then foolish means to get knowledge and do not apply it. The Bible says that. He's not talking about people that do not know God. It's talking about people that claim to know God. People that represents God. God is looking for truly changed people, my friends. Truly changed people. Yes, none of us are perfect, but we're moving ourselves into a place where we became perfect in God. And God can't change you until you do that. Amen? It's so important for us to apply those disciplines. There are a lot of educated fools out there. People that are educated but are fools because they're still doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. Educated in the Word of God. Educated in universities. They are educated fools making laws in our country right now. You've voted them in. Hallelujah. You go, I didn't vote them. Well, somebody did. And they're in there making laws that are coming against the word of God. Hallelujah. Knowledge increases your capacity to be fools. Let me just show you that what I mean in scripture. Knowledge increases the capacity for you to be fools. Jesus actually made a statement, and I like Jesus. I like the forwardness of Jesus, straightforward, shoot straight, and ask questions later. That's my kind of Jesus, hallelujah. Why? Because he understands. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, if I had not come and spoken my words to you, then you would be excused in your sins. But because I have come to you and I have told you the truth, you have no excuse. Hallelujah. I'll just read that in the scripture. It says in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. You and I, as soon as you come to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have no excuse. Jesus said, you don't have an excuse in the world. You know the truth now. So walk in the truth. Walk in that place where you say you know Christ. We play around with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone is looking around for some big signs and wonders, prophetic events and things like that, and they forget to walk in the principles of the Word of God. To me, that's more important than prophecy. Because I know if I walk in the Word of God, nothing can move me. He guides my path. I can plan my ways, and then he says, yeah, this is the path. Walk in it. I don't need a prophecy from somebody to come and tell me how to do things. If you're a person that's seeking prophecy, I encourage you, study the Word of God. And hear God yourself. That's meditation. That's one of the disciplines I talked about last Sunday. Hallelujah. What if somebody comes and prophesies something upon you and it's not right? What if somebody comes and preaches some kind of a doctrine and you believe him because you're that person that moves around looking for prophecies? And there's no foundation in the Word of God in your life. Dangerous place, my friends. I've seen it happen in churches. And I said, no, this is not going to happen in this church. My spiritual antenna is sharp. And I'll smell you like a rat from far. And we'll deal with it. You know, false prophets, they come and they say things and they preach and they do stuff. But as soon as you confront them, it's a spirit. You confront the spirit, it's gone. Hallelujah. So be careful. Get into the meditation where you hear God yourself. Hallelujah. I'm going to close here with this. Not everything that presents itself to you is an opportunity. I like the testimony, Mama Julie. That's so important for us to understand. Sometimes we think, that's the place we're going to go. This is where I'm going to go. But God says, no. Hang on a minute. Hear from me. The devil's greatest weapon is good things. Not bad things. Hear me now. Not bad things. Good things. The devil's greatest weapon is getting Christians to do good things, but not the right things. Everybody wants to do great things and good things, but sometimes good things are not the right things. Sometimes your good friends are not the right friends. Sometimes your family is not part of your purpose. Oh, hello, somebody. Your purpose doesn't include anybody except you. Don't build yourself around people and then when they leave, you go straight down. They don't know your purpose. They don't know who you are. Hallelujah. So I'm going to say this. He knows that you are a good Christian that would not do bad things. So he won't tempt you to do bad things. Have you noticed that? Devil doesn't tempt you because you know the truth. Oh, hallelujah. I walk in righteousness. And he says, all right, good. Go and do the good things. And they're not the right things. And sometimes we waste so much time on doing good things, and God says, that's not the right thing. That's not what I want you to do. That's not why I called you to do. Hallelujah. I thought that I was just going to be somebody until he says, no, that's not the right thing. Coming here is the right thing. You know why I'm standing right here? I'm thinking, okay, feels like the right thing, God. It's a good thing. It's a right thing in God. So what he does is he gives you good things to do that are not right for you. Why? Because all he wants is your time. As long as he can get your time away from your real purpose in achieving great things in God, he's got you. You will see, oh no, I'm not doing anything bad. According to scripture, I'm doing really good things here. God says, yes, but it's not the right thing. That's not what I want you to do. That's not where I want you to be. So Satan will get you to do a lot of good things to occupy you, keep you busy. Preoccupation is a dangerous game. He will get you to work on things that God never told you to do. Hallelujah. Stay with me now, friends. The secret to protecting your time is to know your purpose. That's why it says, understand the Lord's will. Hallelujah. Remember the story of King Saul, and I'm going to close with that, in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Good story. You can read the whole thing right down. But I'm going to bring a verse in verse 20. Saul, remember the story? Saul was told to go into the city and take the city and kill everything in the city, including all the animals. While they were killing the animals, he ran into some beautiful looking sheep. Really nice. He says, oh, we'll keep those ones. He tells the soldiers, do not touch those ones, because we're going to use those ones to worship God with it. Sounds like a good thing, eh? God never said that. God never said, go and kill everything and just find some good sheep and worship me with that. It's the simplicity of it, my friends. God says, don't do that. Just go and wipe out everything, kill all the animals, and come back. While they were killing the animals, he ran into some beautiful sheep. He told the soldiers, don't kill that one. He said, I want to use them to worship God. Worship sounds like great things to a Christian's mind. Oh, worship? Yeah. Hang on a minute. What is God saying? Bible says he brought the animals back to the camp, and Samuel came to check because the Lord had told him. And the prophet said to Saul, did you obey the Lord? Ooh, strong statement. Samuel the prophet questioned Saul. He said, King Saul, he says, did you obey the Lord? And Saul, lying through his teeth, hallelujah. Saul said, yes, I did. I did what the Lord said, and that's true. Yes, he did. He went in and slaughtered the enemy and killed everything, but he didn't do one thing. He collected all the good animals, saying, I'm going to worship God with those ones. Samuel said, then why am I smelling sheep? There's something smelling like sheep and cattle here. Samuel said, why am I hearing those bleak and says, you were supposed to kill all the animals. The instruction was simple. Kill everything. Kill the animals. It's not hard. But we try to do things that, oh, we feel, oh, maybe we'll do what God wanted there, but I feel that we should do this. God says, no. Obey. My friends, that's my sermon today. Obedience to the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's what Saul's explanation is, and it's in verse 20. And it's the explanation of most of us Christians in the kingdom. In verse 20, he says, but I did listen to God. I did listen to the Lord, Saul answered. He said, he sent me on a mission, correct? And I went, correct? I captured King Agag and destroyed his nation, correct? All the animals were going to be slaughtered anyway. Hallelujah. Sounds like a Christian. All the animals are going to be slaughtered anyway. I just collected a few. What's wrong with that? Hallelujah. You know, the more I preach this, the more I'm getting convicted. Hallelujah. And my wife is going to be watching me. And I thank God for her because she's always on my toes. Alan, you know. She's your boss. Hallelujah. All the animals were going to be destroyed anyway, he says. That's why the army brought the best sheep and cattle to Gilgal as sacrifices to the Lord your God. Verse 22, tell me, Samuel said, does the Lord really want sacrifice and offerings? No, he doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants you to obey him. It's simple. He says that he wanted you to obey him. He was getting you to do those things simply because he wants you to obey him. Rebelling against God, in verse 23, this is strong. Rebelling against God or disobeying him because you are proud is just as bad as worshiping idols. Whoa. Or asking them for advice. Are you asking some idols for advice at the moment? You refuse to do what God told you, so God has decided that you can't be king anymore. And Saul's explanation was more. Like us, we find excuses. Oh, really? Well, I thought that, if we do that, God will be really happy. Listen, God says, no. Go and complete everything that he's asked you to do without bringing your own preconceived ideas into it. He didn't ask for that. He asked you to just simply obey him. King Saul took a good thing and destroyed the right thing. So the prophet says, you refuse to do what God told you, so God has decided that you can't be king. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You hear the word all the time? It's better than sacrifice. Simple obedience to the word of God is so easy. Once we start aligning ourselves with what the word of God says, then it's so easy for us. God knows. He said, we make life so difficult for ourselves when we disobey the word. And then we find ourselves in a place where we're not supposed to be and go, what happened there? Hello? He didn't tell you to go there. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you. He said, just stay there. This is the place you're supposed to be. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obeying the laws, I speak about principles all the time, of God is better than singing in the choir. Hello, somebody. Obedience to God is better than being a musician, singing in the choir, preaching the gospel, doing crusades, doing all this other stuff. They're great, but before they can really do happen, obedience to God's word is more important. Because you are going to go out there and represent Him. And you can't go out there and change the world, then you haven't changed yourself. God really needs transformed, truly changed people. Hallelujah. You know, it's better than being in any part of the ministry, obedience to God. Once you know God's vision and plan for your life, you become dangerous. You're a dangerous walking dynamo to the devil when you understand God's will for your purpose or your purpose in God and walking in obedience. It's very simple, friends. It's not hard. Very simple. Let's just get into a place of obedience and get into a place of disciplining in our lives. Study the word of God. Study it for yourself. Spend an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, and walk in those inward disciplines that I've been talking about. Next week, I'm going to speak about the outward disciplines. And it's going to blow your mind because you think, oh, that's, you know, I'm looking forward to next week. It'll help you to realize that it's not just the inward disciplines that you need, but other disciplines that are coming. Good for you, that you grow and you bear so much good fruit for the kingdom of God. When people look at you, they truly see Christ. When people hear you speak, they truly see Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. It's good for us. No more watered down gospel in this church. We get the principles right. Get things right. Before you go out and do ministry, get it right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you for your word that has been released to your people. Thank you, God, for the testimony that came from Mama Julie. Those that have gone before us, experience, Lord, your voice and experience the things that they can share and correct us and teach us, oh God. Father, we thank you that we are in the place where you wanted us to be in our spiritual life and in the direction of the church. It's getting everything right first before we can go out and do anything. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we pray that you continue to inspire, but I pray your conviction be so strong in the lives of the people here in this church, men, women, and children, Father, that they will truly walk in the disciplines that you want us to be, a place where we can hear your voice clearly, a place where we can do your will and understanding our purpose, Father. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon each and every man, woman, and children today. Thank you, God, that your word will sit in their lives and in the spirit, transformed, Father, as they walk out the door, that it'll stay there forever and ever, that we will walk not just in wisdom, but, Lord, with integrity and principle, Father, in before men, representing you and be true representative of the word of God and of the kingdom of God. We honor you and we glorify your name. We bless your holy name today. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, we can take our tithes and offering. And I'll quickly go through the announcements. Updated announcements. If you need any prayer or anything, you want to talk about anything, we'll be here. Me and Papa Joe and Pastor Juliet and Evelyn and all the elders are here. We can talk with you and encourage you and or even pray with you. Amen? But I want you to be a person of discipline yourself, hearing it and doing it. That's just it. There's no other way we can do this except to apply knowledge into our lives. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your people as they give. Lord, we understand that you're the Lord that's the owner of everything. You're God, you're the creator God. You created everything. And then you gave everything to have dominion over to us. Lord, we are just stewards of everything that you blessed us with. Our jobs, our lives, our family. Lord, the finances that we receive, whatever position that we are in a company or in our jobs. God, that's your blessing upon us. And we are just stewards of it. So with that understanding, we give with an open, joyful heart, understanding that, Lord, when we give, it shall be given back to us. That's your principle. That's your word. We stand on that, and we give you thanks and praise. As those that are giving, Lord, the families that are giving, Lord, you look after their house as they look after yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody. Well, the podcast is available through feedback. Facebook, iTunes, Podomatic, and Google Play. Well, our evening service is every 6 o'clock. I like the testimonies that are coming. I want to encourage you. If God's speaking to you, if God's doing something in your life and you want to share a little bit of it or 2-3 minutes of it, please let me know, because I want Sunday to be a time of people sharing their testimonies, encouraging one another, building up one another. And, you know, your testimonies also teaches people. So it's good that, and thank you, Mama Julie, for that testimony and for what God is doing in your life. And we continue to gauge and look at what God is doing through your ministry, powerful ministry. Hallelujah. Transport ministry, contact by 2 p.m. on Saturday. We need some drivers. Speak to Brendan if you want to drive. It's a great ministry. You're fellowshipping with people, talking to people, praying for people, even leading people to the Lord, even before you bring them to church. Hallelujah. Turn up here, they all transform, change, on fire for God. You know, we seem to be, you know, I'm serious. We seem to think, oh, you know, we're just driving them to church. No, start the church in the bus and bring them here. Hallelujah. That's your calling. You're responsible. That's your little church in that bus. Worship and sing and lay hands on everybody and pray and bring them to church. Hallelujah. By the time they get here, they won't want to come up for prayer anymore. We just take them through the New Christians class. Hallelujah. Church cleaning Monday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Help us needed. We've got a leak that's coming from the toilets upstairs. And so my office is totally flooded and stinks like crazy at the moment. So if you know anybody that's dry cleaning services that we can get over here to clean the office up, please let me know. The waters are going to be turned off after service every time until the plumber gets to the job. It's a big job. They got to go through the walls and dig out the pipes. And Brendan knows all about plumbing, so he'll explain that to you guys. But please, if you are here using the church, those that are cleaning the church, and anybody that's using the church, before the plumber gets here, when you're finished, turn off the waters in the mains so it doesn't leak everywhere. I thank God it didn't get to the equipment. My goodness, I walked in here, it was like, oh, it's flooding on the carpet, and it's an old carpet with still some dust in it, so you can imagine the smell. They shut the door now, because if you open the door, that smell will hit you in the face, knock you out straight away. So that's an announcement for those who are cleaning tomorrow. We're going to organize, or anybody that's got the key to the church or here using the church, before the plumber gets here, just remember, turn the mains off if you're going to use the toilet. Otherwise, use the nearest tree outside the car park. No, don't do it. No. Better stop here. Stop. That's a joke, by the way. Don't get too serious with me now. Pastor just said to go and use the tree outside. Home groups are at 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Gordonville, Mariba, and Trinity Park. There's no address on that, but if you want the address, come and see me and we can give you the address as according to the laws of the country that we don't want to give addresses to people. And I said this morning there might be a your enemy saying, oh, I know where they live now. I'm just going to turn up there. Turn up there and go, oh, Pastor Ben gave us the address. So I don't want anything to happen to you because I gave somebody an address. All right, so come and see me if you want to go to those home groups. Or talk to Mama Evelyn right here because she's the one that's been representing me in those home groups and gauging what's happening and coming back and reporting to me that, you know, what's happening in those home groups. So talk to her. She's the one. Hallelujah. Sunday breakfast, Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m. till 9 a.m. This Sunday we didn't have any because Joy had a wedding, daughter's wedding yesterday, and they're up in the Tablelands. Guillaume has actually gone to a funeral. So the team, there was no team to run the breakfast ministry this morning. But our breakfast ministry is on. So, and it'll be on next Sunday? Okay. So everybody will be coming back. Pray for our team, music team. Jason's gone to a funeral, and Jan's still down with the flu, and your pastor has been attempting to lead worship. And so, praise the Lord. Thank you. Oh, there you go. See? Yeah, but keep each other in prayer. Pray for the church. Pray for each other. Pray for your friends. One of the greatest things about the kingdom of God is when you take focus of yourself and put it on someone else, your life is good. Because God straight away deals with it. He straight away looks after you because you're concerned about others instead of yourself. It's the other way around in the world. You know, the kingdom of God thinks totally opposite from how the world runs. So we come into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, repent. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, we think differently. Transform your mind. Turn it around. Repent means, repent is a great, is an amazing word. It's not a religious word. It's a word that tells you to change your mindset. It's actually a psychological word. It's used in psychology. Where's Jovita? Repent is actually not a religious word. We think that it's a religious word. It's not. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, I'm preaching another message now. The kingdom of God said, now this is good, this is good, this is good. I need to tell you this. A lot of us think that repent is coming here, shedding some little crocodile tears. And it's not. Because the kingdom of God operates in things differently from the world. That's why when Jesus stands up, he says, repent, because the kingdom is here. I'm here now, and I think differently. So everybody, think differently. Hallelujah. That's free. That's free, Alan. That's a free one. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm excited. Music practice on Wednesday. I said this morning that I wanted to run a leadership training again. I call it Building the 12, using the Jesus strategy. I love Jesus strategy. And I want to do that in the church on Wednesday nights. I'm going to announce it when we start. So we'll move the music practice to a Saturday, something like, because I really want to use the midweek to teach and build up, build ourselves up. I know God's going to do something amazing for our church because we want to stay in that place of discipline. And God's looking around for churches like that to change the world. He can't find any. I'm not saying we are a perfect church. I'm just saying let's get ourselves into the perfect place so that he can use us to affect the community and the world around us. Amen? Hallelujah. Youth Friday, 6:30 p.m., bring a pen, paper, Bible, and a friend. I think I need to come and speak at the youth on Fridays. I'll wait till Pastor Jason comes because I want to warn him about a few things, that not all Youth Alive conferences are good. Are you hearing me, church? I don't really care about Youth Alive conferences because what they're bringing out there is not the Kingdom of God principles. They're killing our children with lights and smokes and good things, but not the right things. And so I want to talk to our people, our young people, so that they are prepared for this kind of stuff when they get out there. I want our children to be different from other kids. Why? Because they have the principles of the Word of God taught to them. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that will transform our people. Don't muck around with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Prayer all night prayer. Friday 10 p.m. from Friday till Saturday 6 a.m. Mama Evelyn, Pastor Pappy, and everybody. You know, Mama Julie, you started this, so praise the Lord. Yes, yes. Amen. Yes. So, Mama Julie started the prayer on Saturdays all day. and it's still going now. So contact her if you want to pray on Saturday and go and just be with her. It's wonderful. It's the engine room. I feel the prayers of you people when I'm preparing the Word of God and coming to release the Word of God, because you're praying. There's constant prayer going on. Hallelujah. So Saturday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. is our normal prayer time for anybody who wakes up at 6 or 5 o'clock and comes. But then those diehard, crazy night owls that come in here for the kingdom of God and stay all night, that's wonderful, because you keep the place going so that people can walk in, pray for an hour, go back 5 minutes and go back. And then Saturday, it's happening at Julie's house. So continue to go there and build it up. Hallelujah. Friends, service Saturday is at 3:30 p.m. It's going really well. We have Pastor Pappy's team have been really. I like Pastor Pappy. He's been he's so organized and organizing his team of men. And they submit under. And I said to me, Pastor, it's not a new church. It's a Living Light Gospel Church Friends Service. And so he reminds his people all the time. And they've been very effective in the African communities that are getting resettled in Cairns, from all the refugees that are coming from Africa to be resettled in Australia. You know, you don't have to go out and preach the gospel in the world anymore. They're coming to your doorstep. And so this is really why we started the French service, because we wanted to start impacting the lives of those that are coming from a Muslim background. And so Pastor Pepe is amazing. He said to me, Pastor, if there's anybody coming here talking about Jehovah's Witness or Baha'i or all this stuff, leave them with me. I deal with them, because I deal with those people in the refugee camp. I said, praise the Lord. You do that. I release you to do that. Did you see him this morning? Came in with his suit and everything. My goodness, it was sharp. It was. I had to duck because it's like sharpness everywhere. It just made me look so, what do you call it? It was so dressed when he walks in. You know how Pastor Pepe walks in. he's a lovely boy. Freedom 19 team, I don't think I need to announce this anymore. It's a Reinhard Bonnke crusade, and it's on Friday, 27th September at 7 p.m. It's open to everybody. If you feel led to go there and be part of it and just witness to anybody or pray for somebody, feel free. Father's Day service on September 8th, and I will let Jesse come and talk about that today, because I got a note here saying, Jesse to announce. Hey, you're already dressing in blue. You're 1 week ahead.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Good evening, church, and thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity and trust in me to organize this. Okay, we have done Mother's Day. Yes. I think mothers were done, so it's not fair if we don't do it for Father's Day. We need to honor them. We need to appreciate them. Mothers are very important in the family. Fathers are very, very important in the family. Okay, so we're going to celebrate Father's Day on the 8th of September. We are not doing it for the first week because we have the communion service. So we're doing it for the following Sunday. And then if you're a father, if you're a grandfather, you are a father figure, if you think you are a father, please come. And and
if you
call
think.
Your, yeah, if you think. And we're also going to honor the oldest father on that day. So if you have your friends, your neighbors, someone, your working colleagues, really old, bring them along. We are going to honor them. And the lady is going to organize a special lunch for the fathers up there as well. So please come and participate and let us celebrate this day for the fathers. And also encourage your children to talk about the father. And fathers, if you have your talent, this is the time for you to come and show your talent. If you can sing, if you can dance, if you can do acrobatic or whatever it is, you can come forward. And
Alan.
Please, he will do.
Sorry,
first
I wasn't doing
show.
That. I was just pointing to Alan. Yeah.
And please give your name to me if you would like to be part of this. It's going to be fun on that day. Okay. And the color code for the day is blue. blue. I think I did ask Pastor Papi this morning, Pastor Papi, today is not Father's Day.
He was 1 week ahead.
He said that I'm rehearsing. He said it's a rehearsal. This is the blue I'm going to wear on the day. You did too. And mothers or wives, if you would like to buy a shirt for your husband or for the father, make it as a blue one so they can wear it on the day. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you. Jesse's put her hands up to look after all our special events for mothers and fathers on, Easter programs, things like that. So it's good to have somebody like that organizing all that stuff. She's always on my case. Pastor Ben, we need to... Okay. Always reminding me. So praise the Lord. Let me just pray a prayer. We're still going. Did I skip something? Oh, I'm in trouble right now. All the women are looking at me going... All the mothers are good. She's not even going to announce our program. Hallelujah. Well, there it is. How do you say that word? Huh? Crochet. It's really crochet. So we have a crochet class on Tuesday. 10 a.m. at the church. Sorry. thank you, Jesus. So I love that because the women have been, the mothers have been and sewing great clothes. And I said, what about the fathers? Jesse, we've been telling them to make clothes for us, you know? So we'll be having a Living Light brand pretty soon because it's happening. There's sewing going on up there. It's like a factory. Alan, you better join these girls because you're very good with the machine, I know. Hallelujah. Well, listen, praise the Lord for his word. Thank you. The joy of the Lord is our strength all the time. I want to speak a blessing over you tonight. And I love this. I want to use this all the time now. It's praying the blessing of God upon you and your family and over the church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. We give you glory. All adoration goes to you. It's all about you and nothing about us because we're just vessels, God. We're just people and people that are representing you. Father, I pray and I thank you, God, as I speak this blessing over the church. May the Lord bless you. May Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, kneel before you, making himself available to you like a good father kneeling before his child in order to minister and bestow his gifts and promises and keep you. May Yehovah Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorny protection which prevents Satan and all your enemies from harming your body, soul, mind, and spirit, loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you. May Yehovah Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, illuminate the wholeness of his being towards you, continuing to bring you to order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose and be gracious to you. May Yehovah Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May Yehovah Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, lift up and carry his fullness of being towards you, bringing everything that is to your aid, supporting you with his divine embrace and his entire being, and give you peace. May Yehovah Yahweh, your heavenly Father, he who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete so that you can walk in victory moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen.